I said, "Hey, Amazon, give me the biggest cat litter mat you sell." And Amazon said, "Okay."
Did you ask Alexa for it?
No, I refuse to shop with Alexa. I am 100 staunchly percent, that is not a real thing. I am staunchly 100% anti-buying stuff with my voice. And turned that feature off the minute I got the Echo Dot that I never use.
You never use it, really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but I really thought about it and I said, it annoys me more that Amazon's purpose is to sell me stuff with its device than Google's is to gather data about me. I'm okay with the data part because I already have an Android phone. I'm in that ecosystem, you know. They have my email, for God's sakes. They have everything they could ever want from about me anyway. So.
Well, that was actually one of the things on my list.
Oh, I got something about that too. Cool. It's
Google versus
Amazon
for your home. I know which camp you're in.
Oh yeah. Well, but I had a different take on it probably than you, but cool. Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are...
S. Michael Smith, and you are...
M. Michael Carassi. Happy almost the end of this fucking year.
It's almost.
Almost. It is a mere days away by the time this airs.
Yeah, I'm working on pulling up my list. I can't get the signal down here.
You need Wi-Fi, bro?
I'm on Wi-Fi.
Oh, well, the Wi-Fi is like right there, so...
It must be overwhelming it.
It's just too much Wi-Fi's.
I know.
Too much.
We'll try this again. So, come on. It's in draft. Maybe I should just send. There we go. Pulled it up. We're good.
Nice.
Good.
So this is episode number motherfucking 80.
80.
80.
It's not an auspicious number, but it is an auspicious occasion because this won't air until the beginning of next year.
So no, this will air January 29th.
Okay. Right there at the end.
Right at the end. And 80 is a very, in many ways, a round number.
All right.
I mean, eight's very curvaceous.
Yeah.
Zero is firmly in the round category.
There's a lot of roundness to 80.
It's a multiple of 10. It's an even number. All of those make for a round number.
And 2 and 4 and 8.
Yeah, but I don't 16. Think like... 16 and multiple 16 does not.
Come on, you're not thinking digitally. It's that's one of those numbers. You know, 2, 4, 8.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just saying that a multiple of 16 in my mind does not make it round.
Well, it does to me.
Because you're a nerd.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess.
I'm in the hex zone, so yeah.
Did you try the drink?
I did not. I have a cat tongue.
You do have a cat tongue. That is true.
And I'm a little afraid because I know this is really hot.
It's not. I mean, I never boiled it or anything. I very, very slowly heated it.
I'm trying. I'm going to...
I will make Smike's cat tongue noises.
It's tasty, but I can't... It's going to kill my tongue if I drink... Isn't that a clove floating in there?
Yes, there are some cloves.
Exciting.
I went all out for you. Look, we have matching.
I was actually just thinking of using clove in a drink, and it's kind of cool that now here we go.
That's
clove in a drink. I know it can be done.
The secret, the book, the secret.
It smells great.
It smells
wonderful.
This is.
I could just sit here and hold it.
Yeah, kind of smell it.
I mean, it's gonna make my voice sound really weird, so I probably shouldn't do that.
Do the whole Luke kind of thing.
Really nice. Really nice.
Give your scarf.
All right, so you mentioned Luke. So without getting into spoilers.
No, you
went there. You already brought this up.
I got to tell you what the drink is or we're going to get complaints.
Okay, all right.
Then we will go to the spoiler dirt. Did you see Star Wars?
No, I didn't see Star Wars.
So this is, I felt like making something cidery for the end of the year episode. And we have Apple Pie Moonshine still.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I went to Black Button Distillery's website and said, "Hey, Black Button Distillery, give me a good drink." And they provided their cider, which had cinnamon. So I nixed that, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Although watching you die at the end of the year, in the end of the year episode, would be a good send off.
So this is not a hard cider you put in here.
Well, no, it is okay. Apple cider. Wegmans apple cider, apple pie moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
A dash of whiskey for a little extra kick.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to overwhelm it with apple pie moonshine.
Sure.
It's kind of a waste with the apple cider.
Yeah.
You know.
Too much apple.
It's a lot of apple. There's also apples and oranges floating in it and clove.
Okay. So and does this have a name?
I haven't named it yet.
So it's not, it's a little bit of a spin on their recipe.
Yes, it is added whiskey and clove and subbed out cinnamon. So I guess I made it my own. It is just a derivative of a holiday cider.
Whiskey and clove apple cider. All right, we'll figure out something.
Whiskey and clove. I like mm-hmm. that. It's a whiskey. Bartender, it's cold out. Give me a whiskey and clove. Hey, dumbass, why are you talking like that? What? I always talk like this. Give me a whiskey and clove.
A cloiki?
No.
No?
No. That sounds like a dumb Star Wars name. Or something you get in college when you make out with someone too hard. Oh, totally got a cloiki last night. That happened to me. Did I ever tell you about that?
No.
My first college makeout.
Did you actually call the cloiki? Okay,
No. I was in, so my first theatrical production, the day I walked into the theater department and walked out 4 years later, I was in Hecuba, and I got like a non-speaking part as one of the soldiers that just stands there the whole time.
This must be one of the more lesser-known Greek plays.
Yes, right? Yep. And I just had to stand there, but I had to have exposed neck and arms because I was in armor.
Of course, because right? When you're wearing armor, you must make sure that you have exposed neck and shoulders.
You want your arteries prominently mocking the other person as much as possible. And you're
it's so important artery, that it's those important. That those parts of your body are free to move around and get air and not be protected.
It's
by
only
anything.
Fair because women in video games have to wear the least amount of armor possible to show their breasts off. So realistically, it's only fair that men have
it
that.
It is.
Equal opportunity.
Not even fair. Not even close.
So the important part of the story is I had to have a very
exposed
neck.
You don't get the Me Too for that.
No, I do not. I'm not going for the Me Too. That was a couple episodes ago. I had a very exposed neck, and the night before opening, I had my first college makeout session. My first ever makeout session. And this girl just, she was like a Dyson.
Okay.
On my neck. She just... Like a lamprey. How about a lamprey?
No, I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, I dated one or two people in college that were just, nobody had ever, said, no, you're doing this wrong.
Right. And I didn't know. I wasn't going to say anything. I'm like, I'm getting my neck and face sucked on. This is awesome. This is college, man. Yeah. And then I'll never forget, I think her name was Barb, the nicest makeup like professor who did all the makeup for the plays. Mm-hmm. I walk in the next day and she's like, Michael. She just shakes her head. And so I had this like deep tan for the first couple episodes or for a couple of performances because they had to put so much stage makeup on me to hide.
It's not that you got the hickey. It's that, you got it when you're doing the show.
I didn't know what the fuck I was doing then. My first college play. So that's my chohickey, whatever they call it. Okay, cloiki. So you want to go Star Wars, yet you haven't seen it.
I haven't. That's why we were not going to do any spoilers for that.
We are not doing a Star Wars Last Jedi episode, so we will spoil nothing. Okay. I have seen it. You have not.
You have not. I just wonder how you're feeling looking at this as what I'm guessing to be the last good Star Wars movie for a while.
Well, it really depends on if you feel like it's a good Star Wars movie, because people are really divided on this.
All right.
This one.
Probably the next one, safe to say, is not going to be any better.
I don't see how. So here's the thing. I actually pity J.J. Abrams after this one. Because, and again, I'm not spoiling anything, but the tone and the approach in this movie felt to me like Rian Johnson spent 2.5 hours giving J.J. Abrams the middle finger. Anything he set up and cared about in the first movie, Rian Johnson just decided to say, fuck you. I'm not even saying what he did. He just said, fuck you. That's what it was.
That's interesting because, we're not spoiling anything.
No spoilers.
But that so much of that movie, when they weren't saying, hey, look at this thing you remember from the old Star Wars
it's
movies.
It's the same thing, but bigger with lens flare.
When it wasn't doing that, it was like going off in some weird direction to set something up that nobody had any idea what it was referring to.
So
it's like, what's this random flash back, flash forward? I don't know. The lightsaber is giving her a vision of something, and we're supposed to like either wait until the next movie to figure this out, or look into and read something online. I don't know.
Well, no, what they expect you to do is read the new expanded universe that Disney forcibly stuck down people's throats. No, I'm not joking.
Okay.
There is a guy, Pablo Hidalgo, whose job is to just churn out expanded universe content to fill in what they got rid of.
In any case, I felt like there was a lot of... It was either hearkening back or setting up. And then the Abrams
stuff. That's the only things it was doing.
Yeah,
there was nothing it was doing in
the moment.
Temporally in the moment, because J.J. Abrams doesn't have the capability of like doing human things, like existing in the here and now, because he's a fucknut. So the biggest criticism I have for this movie is that it just ruins the trilogy, because there's zero consistency. So say what you will about the prequels.
So the characters aren't... They're like different characters, basically.
To some extent, the writing is different. There's the humor is different. The choices are different. The focus is very different. There's a lot of subverting of expectations in this.
Which is, I mean, that doesn't sound like a bad thing.
I'm not critiquing this movie for that.
And I think we got a lot of that in Rogue One too.
No, I would disagree.
I haven't seen it, so you know, it's hard for
you
me.
You haven't
to
seen Rogue
it.
One?
No, I saw Rogue
One. Oh, okay. No, I thought that was like, well, okay, I really like Rogue One. No, the problem is that clearly J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson did not spend enough time coordinating. And so this
or did
is,
not care to.
Or hate each other, because I'm pretty sure Rian Johnson hates J.J. Abrams, which I respect him for a lot. This really should have been called The Last Middle Finger, I'm telling you. But yeah, so when it goes back to J.J. Abrams, this trilogy is going to feel like it's the fucking Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing. It is going to be all over the place in its identity. And that is the biggest crime to Star Wars. Because this movie definitely is looking forward. Mm-hmm. It's about changing and subverting and saying, let's be original. It's going to be painful, but let's fucking do it. And for that, I really applaud it.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely liked it more than Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
But man, what a terrible trilogy. Already, two movies in out of three, and there's no way to fix it. It's just... fucking schizophrenic. That's the best word for it. It is already feeling schizophrenic after two movies. And so, yeah, it can only go downhill.
So what I have heard, and that not, again, not spoilery, that the movie that's out now,
The Last Jedi,
takes more of like a, what would things really be like under this, you know, this kind of oppressive government dark rule or whatever.
It is the Empire Strikes Back of the trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll tell you what. There is a cave scene in this. I'm not spoiling anything because I was like, really, guys? Is this fucking necessary? Are we doing this shit again? He didn't do it as much as Force Awakens, but it is very much the, oh, I'm the dark alternative one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Empire, although Empire did it much better. Yeah, it is. Force Awakens really does that thing that a lot of movies do where they gloss over just how horrific things are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's like, when you look at the military might of the First Order, you're like, there's got to be entire planets that have just been tormented by these people.
Yes.
And you just sort of... Eh.
And you got a lot more of that in Rogue One, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, sitting on the planet as it's like... Being destroyed. Literally destroyed.
Spoilers.
Around
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's rope. I mean, no, yeah.
But it's over a year. At this point, if you do not get more than a couple months on a Star Wars movie, because they're just going to keep coming out for the next 20 years every year. It is not a perfect movie, Last Jedi. It has some serious flaws. My biggest gripe with it as a movie is it is all plot. And that whole not letting his foot off the gas complaint that I had in Force Awakens is actually worse than this.
No.
There is just no reflection. There's just not any taking time to breathe. I still have yet to see a binary sunset scene in any movie that's come out. Just that moment where they're not doing shit but letting Luke look at the sunset and playing the Force theme, and it's like fucking 30 seconds of just taking a breather before we jump into the next fucking thing.
All right. So enough of that.
Enough of that.
Let's move along.
Moving on. Move along. So I had an idea for this episode.
Okay.
I said, Smike, it's the end of the year. It's going to air just before New Year's. So let's... Oh, by the way, I'm glad you liked your Christmas present that I gave you. And I did know that it was going to generate a lot of conversation, and there's going to be a lot of talking about it.
Okay.
just smile and nod.
Yeah.
It's after you got it, so you have to agree with me.
I totally agree.
We're not recording this before Christmas or anything. And
it left me speechless, although there was much to talk about afterwards.
There was, and the speechless really kind of fucked with things a bit.
It did.
Anyway.
I apologize.
That's okay.
I could have reacted better to...
I think you could have. I mean, all things considered.
And I'm sure you equally were, if not enthralled, certainly bemused by my gift.
You tend to use the word bemused about my gifts before you give them to me.
This one, more bemusing than usual.
So was it correct or apropos of me to wipe my penis on it?
I you know what? If you saw that as something to do with it, then...
Spoiler, I did.
I'm just saying, you know, you're just going to go with it. You know, you see an opening like that, then take it.
Some things just look penis rubbable.
Sometimes
you wake up and you just say, that, I need to rub my penis on that.
And I totally get that. Totally get that.
And we're only talking about inanimate objects for the
record. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Where this gets... I'm mostly in it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not going near that one. So yeah, so it's the end of the year. It's episode number 80. Let's do
some... Have we covered that? Have we mentioned 80 enough? Okay.
It's a round number. And a multiple of 16.
Moving on!
So I said, yeah, let's come up with some top whatever list, top fives, whatever. And then we just kind of make... Top things, and then make fun of each other for it.
Okay.
So it's within our wheelhouse.
So should I go first? Or
how many lists do you have?
List. I don't have any. I just have things.
Oh, I said lists. I have three actual lists.
I didn't do lists. I just have like things. So
all right, let's hear two different takes on this. Yeah, let's do our different things.
All right, let's see. Let's start from the top of my list.
You do have a list.
Yeah, but it's not that kind of list. It's just different.
It's
things.
A list of non-lists.
Yes, it's a non-linear list.
Is it Lizdomania? Yeah.
All right. Best new hipster eatery in Rochester. Gotta go with Knox. And I think you would agree.
It is 100% hipster approved. I like how we walked in and it was like, all right, it's empty, so we don't feel out of place. And by the time I left, I was like, I feel like I need to sneak out of here. And I have a beard and a hat, but I still feel like I don't fit in.
Yes, it was just full of like kitschy
hipster kitsch.
Weird, yeah, hipster kitsch everywhere. I don't think any two chairs were alike.
Nope.
Some of the seating was like old sofas that they pulled out of a landfill.
No, they probably curb shopped.
Okay, curb shopped. And the food was very good.
Yeah.
And the drinks were all, you know, ridiculous.
In an interesting way.
In a hipster interesting in a hipster, way.
Yeah, and I kept picking the wrong ones. And I'd be like, I'm going to try this and be adventurous. I'd be like, I shouldn't have done that. I'm going to do this and be adventurous. I shouldn't have done that either.
And they were like, all names of things were like, if you got the name of the drink, you're like, oh.
There were two Admiral Akbar references on the menu, which we ordered both of.
And at least, what was there one drink for that too?
There might have been. One
there was a
food
lot of Star
and one
Wars
drink.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But it was good. I, you know, if that sounds like the kind of place you would like to go.
Well, they were featuring the third annual mythical creature taxidermy exhibit.
Yeah, which, oh my God. If you're gonna, it's that kind of place. It's at the village gate, for God's sake.
It's trying too hard.
Yeah.
You know? But there was, you know, it was anywhere you looked, there was some weird thing on the wall you kind of wanted to look closer at.
It's like the goofy hipster little brother to Lento.
Sure. Yeah, because it had that farm-to-table vibe and very artisanal kind of deal. The food and drinks were good.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I kept picking the wrong drinks, but I was tasting other drinks that you guys had, and they were all very good. Mm-hmm. So I would very heartily recommend it. So do you think it outdoes the Owl House? Is that what it's called?
I said new, though.
Okay, new. Okay.
But yeah, the Owl House is so old hat these days.
Old fedora.
Did you go there recently?
No.
Okay. Not somebody had.
I've only ever been there once with you.
Okay. Well, yeah, I, you know, it's been a couple, two or three years since we've been to the Owl House. But Knox, I would heartily recommend that experience if that sounds like something that would appeal to you.
Yes, and it is more of a tapas, small plate, sharing kind of place.
That's how they bill themselves.
But they had plenty of entrees. They had
like a bunch of sandwiches and like full entrees. So yeah. It's,
but you're not going to go there for a five-course meal, sit down, fine dining. But if you go there with a group, it's awesome because you can easily... We had no problem sharing tons of food.
Yeah.
Tons of plates.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't call it tapas place. Anyway...
That's what they bill themselves.
I know, but that I don't think it's right. I don't think they should do that. if half of your entrees are sandwiches and like some sort of hipster burger thing, that's not a tapas plate.
That's true. I'll give it that.
Maybe I'm being too pedantic here. No, I'm not. Anyway, I'll do one other thing.
Yeah, I have lists, so do a couple.
Best the Tick. I got to give to Peter Serafinowicz.
Yes.
I mean, he's just...
He owns it.
He just owns it now. He is the Tick now.
Putty has just been supplanted.
Yeah.
You know.
And whoever was doing the voice for the...
the cartoon.
Original cartoon. And I may catch a lot of flack for this, but Serafinowicz is just amazing in this.
He does it in a way that it never feels too much.
No, it never feels dishonest.
But it's utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
In the best possible way. And I think that he is particularly good at that.
Yeah.
He does very good character work, like over-the-top character work. Spy, you know, even Darth Maul. I always go back to the fact he was the voice of Darth Maul. Shaun of the Dead. Yeah, he owns it.
You know, we've seen some YouTube stuff and some interviews with him. He's just like a goofy, fun guy
who
loves doing this stuff. And I think that part of him is, it just resonates so much with the role of the Tick.
Maybe you need that. To do the Tick properly, you have to sort of have that kind of goofy, not taking yourself too seriously sensibility, you know? Like the guy who plays Wolf in Future Man, he's a classically trained Shakespearean actor, and he does a good job, and he's very funny in that role, but I have trouble imagining him doing something like the Tick.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like it might be too rigid for something like that.
Yeah, it still feels like, I mean, I like Future Man, and we'll maybe talk about that in a minute too, but it still feels like acting.
Yes, it is actory.
Yeah.
No doubt about it, but not a bad way. You want to do one more, and then I'll do a top five list?
Mm-hmm. Oh, most disappointing video game.
Did that come out this year?
I think so.
We're thinking the same game.
Maybe.
All right, what's your game?
Last Guardian.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I think it was 2017. I think it was recent.
Probably.
Maybe, probably.
Okay.
If not, then fuck it. It still is. This is a game that I've been waiting years.
Many of us.
A lot of people.
I'm still waiting because you talk so much.
Oh, you can just. Yeah, I'll bring it over next time if you want to try it.
I'm five deep in games right now.
I know. There's too much stuff these days.
There is. Well, but,
and it was okay. The story in the game is interesting, and I mentioned this before though. The awful controls completely ruin the experience.
The JDS they take camera. You
right out of it.
And which is the last thing that a game should do.
Yeah, and maybe I'm remembering the previous two games, Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, too fondly. But I don't remember ever being that frustrated by the controls on them.
They were amazing games. I don't remember that either. Maybe Ico was. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Ico had its own... I think for Ico, the frustration was part of the game because you were always trying to get this other person to do what you want. Yeah,
the AI issue.
And that, you know, that they worked to get that into the game. At least that's how I'm choosing to remember it.
Sure.
Whereas with Last Guardian, you're constantly just fighting the camera and the movement, and it's no fun.
That's sad because they took so long.
Yeah.
But it seems like the longer a game takes, you don't normally get a game that takes 10 years to make and then it's amazing. Duke Nukem.
All right. Go ahead.
Well, for me, it's Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Oh, okay. You can have, you're entitled to have your own take on this category.
Well, I didn't play Last Guardian, so.
Yeah.
I went to Australia, I bought a Nintendo Switch. I was like, apparently.
This is just like what happened with the original Wii. You were in love with it for like the first couple of weeks.
Because I was alone in Australia. It was but my even only when
you
friend.
Got it, you were so excited about it. You tried it out, and you
know. I had it for one day before Australia. What are you talking about? I literally got it less than 24 hours before I left for Australia. Yeah, I know that I'm just like Force Awakens. I'm in the minority here, but man, that game is pointless and stupid and boring as shit. And no amount of telling me that it's making me relive my childhood and all that makes me in any way like the like people who like the game make these arguments, and I want to be like, I just want to shake them and be like, your argument is dumb. You're only like strengthening my dislike of the game. How do you not understand this? Like, I need a story. I need any fucking point to what I'm doing. Not go 1,000 miles that way and you'll kind of find what you're looking for.
When's the last time you played the original Zelda game, though? It's awful. I mean,
yeah, but Majora's Mask or Ocarina of Time, those are fun.
I know. I'm just getting back to the roots on that. The original Legend of Zelda.
Zelda's all over the place because you have the original Zelda and then Zelda 2, which was like a side scroller. Like, it's all over. It never had a really firm identity, but this just happens to bug the shit out of me. I will say that I did finally buy some more Switch games, and I'm really liking the. It's basically XCOM Lite. It's mm-hmm. Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle. And like every review I read said, if you like XCOM, buy this game immediately. And it is legit like XCOM Lite.
Well, that's interesting. It's been a while since I played an XCOM game, but my complaints are always that, like, man, this game takes forever to do anything.
And this is so much faster. You get multiple, you know, actions per turn, and like no one actually dies; they just get knocked out. So you don't have that thing where like I spent 20 hours leveling that character, and I got to reload my save because I lost him.
Yes.
So all of the like really annoying parts of XCOM aren't relevant, and it's just fun. It's goofy. It's trying a little hard to be too hard to be funny, but. So I'm now playing my Switch again. And it's like the battles are 5 to 10 minutes. So I can like watch TV while I play it, which is what I really wanted. Because Walking Dead has gotten so bad. We just wanted to finish the half season off.
And why not? Well, you could just stop. I mean, you know.
Say that to my wife. I might give up on it. It is lost its
way. You finally got out of Blacklist at least, right?
I know, a long time ago. That's like 2 seasons ago I got out of that. I got out of Big Bang Theory. I'm willing to walk away. It's just, I met Robert Kirkman. I told him his show was going to be good. He thanked me. I feel like I have some kind of weird ownership in this show. So now when it's sucking, I'm like, man, is this my fault? Did I not tell him with all my heart? Did I not rub my penis on the comic that he signed? That's what I should have done, Smike.
Okay. All right. That's 3 things for me. You do something.
You can pick the list I'm going to go through. Top 5 funny movies that lots of people probably missed. Top 5 unsurprising predictions for technology in 2018. Because right. They're not really that incredible. Although I have one that will be controversial. Or top five. Top 5 positive outcomes from the Trump presidency.
Oh, God. Let's get that out of the way. Because I don't want to get into that later on.
I know. Especially since today is the day that the tax bill passed. Just to date ourselves on when we record. Should I stop at the start? Do you want me to start number 1 or number 5 and count up?
I don't know. What do they go from? Is it a significant order?
Kind of.
Okay. Then start from the least and go to the greatest.
All right. Number 5. Liberals start to finally rebel against hypersensitive political correctness. It has become more of something that is being lampooned and liberal. Like Family Guy did several episodes on it and that kind of thing. I'm enjoying that. My experiences maybe make me enjoy a little more than I used to.
Well, yeah.
I didn't say we've turned on it. I said we're starting to be aware and make fun of the hypersensitivity of political correctness. That's all I'm saying.
I think it's been going on for a while.
I think it picked up quite a bit of steam. Although maybe the Me Too movement has actually kind of slowed it down a bit.
Yeah. I mean, when you we're getting some really serious here.
you want to get that way.
When you look at something like the Me Too, I mean, there's... The pendulum is going back and forth like crazy right now.
I think it's just firmly swinging. We're heading into dangerous territory now. I think that's where
we're about to hit like serious backlash to the Me Too movement.
That's where I see us going to.
And it's, I mean, we're walk on eggshells is not over by any.
No, they're only going to get thinner and more brittle. Then they're going to be on a very thin layer of ice.
Yeah, and it's because people are becoming more polarized and more angry, and it's on both sides. That's happening on both sides. And this is, I'm not saying both sides are equally to blame for this. That's not what I'm.
No, you're talking about where the anger and polarization.
The anger and the I'm sick of the other side's shit is just increasing on both sides.
Right. Okay. Well, maybe I didn't take that into account. I whipped these up in about 5 minutes. Number four, the right conversations about inequality and disparity are actually happening.
Yeah.
Starting to happen. I did write starting to happen.
Yeah.
Look at the touchstone of Alabama and what, you know, and the outcome and who decided that vote.
Man.
No, I'm not talking about what you think I'm talking about. I'm talking about why Doug Jones won.
Yeah, why Doug Jones won. So there's a couple of reasons. I've actually seen conservatives try to take that
credit for that.
To take credit for that and saying,
no.
Yeah, look how many of us stayed home. You know, like,
nope.
We get some credit for that.
No, you don't.
Because we didn't all go out and vote for him.
Nope.
We're not all awful. Then that's what makes us great.
Yeah, no, those people should be dragged out the street and beaten.
I think that's bullshit, but that's definitely something that's out there.
There's always
a sentiment that's out
there. Well, yeah, there's also the very fervent belief that tons and tons of out-of-state black people were bussed in, too. There's always the stupid shit
which comes in. Which is bullshit, yeah.
Well, did you see the takedown that the writer...
He was
a con artist. He was a professional con artist who writes white collar.
Oh,
he was a former con man who turned into a TV writer and writes a show about con men. And he said, let me tell you from probably one of the most specifically informed points of view why your claim is irrelevant and stupid and impossible. It's pretty funny to read.
All right. What actually happened, though, was, there was some reduction of voters on both sides coming out because it's an off-year election, a special election, an off-month election.
Historically, it's very low turnout, yeah.
Yeah, but the black vote came out really big.
96% of black women?
The black women were the ones who came out in greater force than in the other concentrated group.
Mm-hmm. Demographic.
Yeah. And that was a big moment for them.
Yeah.
And anybody who's, you know, trying to claim that now this was actually what really happened, you're
a jackass.
You're a jackass, and you're taking away from all this the tremendous amount of footwork and getting out the vote that these people did.
Yeah. Actually, we'll come back to my number one spot.
Right.
Number three, Americans wake up, find their protest voice like never before.
Yeah, that's something that has been... right now, and this could be outdated when this airs. There's like a great chance that what I'm saying now is going to have already happened.
Okay,
but I know that should Trump actually fire Mueller,
mm-hmm.
protest will break out everywhere.
Oh yeah,
on the next like that day,
I'll be marching down the main street of fucking Fairport.
Yeah,
which will accomplish nothing, but I'll still do it. Maybe I'll head downtown.
There are already places that are like pre-scheduled wow. for people to go to protest. That's if amazing. And when that happens.
Well, have you read about all of the cajoling or casual? I think you say cajoling. Is that how you say the word?
Sure.
It's one of those words you don't hear said. That's how
I'll say it.
Okay. But all the cajoling that Ty Cobb and them are doing, telling them like, oh, it's going to wrap up before, you know, by Thanksgiving, it's going to wrap up before Christmas. Okay. And everyone's like, at some point, he's going to just do what Trump does and just go crazy and fire him.
Yes, because that's what the people around Trump that surround him, his lawyers and his hand-picked team who he hasn't thrown out, that's what they're telling him because they don't tell him that. If they say him, yeah, this
sabotage his
good,
presidency, yeah.
Then he'll fire them. He'll say, no, I don't want to hear this. Get me somebody who's going to...
Well, what I read from...
It's probably both.
...sources is that it's not... So, I mean, I'm sure it is about self-preservation, but it's more about if we don't keep the carrot and stick approach here, or the carrot approach here, just keep dangling just out of reach, he's going to get fed up and then fire Mueller immediately. So we need to just be like, it's going to... Because he said he expects a handwritten letter.
Yeah.
Which, and like even Ty Cobb's like, I don't know where he got that. That they don't do that.
No.
it's ridiculous.
No.
But we have seen protests accomplish things in a way that, I mean, the travel bans, the public outcries, I've never seen this in my lifetime, not to that degree.
Yeah, and you know, protesting against Nazis is, you know, that's not something that we should be surprised that is happening, but it
well,
is.
Well, we should be disappointed it has to happen, yeah. But not surprised that it needs to happen.
Or but it's it. Actually, the Nazis have been, like, shut down pretty well by counter-protests.
Yeah, there were some attempts at having some rallies, and then, like, 13 people showed up.
Post-Charlottesville. Charlottesville was not the great rallying moment for white supremacists yeah. like they kind of hoped it was.
I will admit it, I was wrong. I expected things to get worse. That did seem to shut them down. When, you know what?
Yeah.
Great thing about being a pessimist, you're right, you're right. When you're wrong, you're still right. Because it's still a happy thing.
Anyway, this could all go out the window by the time it's here. So what else
you true. Got? Number two, the black community learns to flex its muscle. Doug Jones. I expect some forward momentum now.
But
that's why I made the list for you to pick.
Jones already took some flack just today, for basically saying, "Yeah, it's great, and I want to work with both sides, and you know, I'm not always going to vote Democrat." And
yeah, no, I wrote this before he said that.
Yeah, so certainly a lot of people and. Certainly a lot of black leaders were looking at that, which at any other given time would have been probably seen as, all right, it's a guy who won a close election and he wants to say, I'm going to, you know, try to represent all my constituents equally. And yeah, the black voters turned out to get him elected. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right. And as they should.
Yeah.
I have, for a year, I have been sort of shaking my head at this belief that we're expected as liberals to have intellectual discourse with the other side. That's nonsense to me. Everything I've ever researched, including recently about trying to convince someone of the opposite thing, is not about facts. That doesn't work. Indoctrination, fervent belief, facts don't turn that around. Emotion does. Now, you can be extremely manipulative, but I don't have the patience for that, and I don't suffer fools. So I don't believe that kind of discourse is deserved. I think it's time to get angry, to mobilize, and to vote them fucking out of office. That's my belief.
Voting out of office is good. The angry and mobilizing stuff is really making me nervous on both sides. And you have Fox News, who just this past weekend was...
The coup?
Yeah, talking about a coup happening.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides are in different... realities right now.
Oh yeah, no, there's a big schism, no doubt. This is all actually.
Anyway,
this is all going off of my point. The black community saw. I hope. Yeah, Doug Jones may be a lame duck. He's still not Roy Moore, and the black community really should be patting themselves on the back because they mobilized in a way that no one else did, and they stopped Roy Moore.
Yes.
At the end of the day, that's what they did, and I sincerely hope they say we are getting shafted by the society. We have found a voice. Let's keep this going. Let's become kingmakers. Let's get more people into politics. There are more charities. I looked it up. There's more charities trying to get like black women into office and stuff. Like they're devoted to that. And it's fucking fantastic. And again, nothing about this presidency is good. But some of the awarenesses that is touched off, some of the movements I think are great. It's just the circumstances could have been a lot better.
Right.
The number one, women take over the streets in politics.
The streets?
Yeah. You might have heard of this march where women all over the country marched a lot, took over the streets.
Yeah, that was like it was early, way early in the year, wasn't it? In January?
Are you fucking kidding me? Does my list say December?
No.
Since Trump president. Or Trump
I know.
Presidency.
Just things moving, have been moving so fast.
Yeah, I don't forget. Did you see the number of women running for Democratic office?
I didn't, but I know I don't look at the exact number, but I do know
it's like 80 something. It's such an astronomically high comparison to the last couple of election cycles. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just you can't ignore it. It's phenomenal.
And I think it's great. I think you know it's an overdue thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not just like trying to repeat pundits. Liberal talking points here. Yeah.
No, it is an overdue thing.
And especially when you see the kind of corruption that happens at the higher levels of government, you know, in
tax
Congress
bill.
And the Senate.
Tax bill.
And it's the few times that there has been a kind of a voice of reason from coming up from the right. It's been like
McCain.
No. Well,
once.
Once, but it's been I'm terrible Collins? With names. Yeah, Collins, is she the one from Alaska?
Yeah, Alaska or Maine.
Collins, yeah, there's Alaska and Maine.
Yeah, the female senator from Alaska, the female senator from Maine.
Yeah, but yeah. They've been like two of the more outstanding mm-hmm. voices of more reasonable-ish,
semi-rational thought.
Yeah, yeah, certainly better than what anybody else is saying.
They still caved on the tax bill.
Yeah, but what can you do? And I like God. Our UN person most of the time.
Nikki Haley?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are some times when she's like, she just has to do something.
Like she's taking names with the Jerusalem?
I mean, that was certainly a low point, but compared to the rest of the stuff from this administration, she's been a relative high point.
Okay. I don't hear her name mentioned in the big headline stories as much as other things. So I guess that's
no,
a good...
because she's she's a diplomat to the UN, and it sounds glamorous, but it's kind of not.
Not imagine that.
Yeah,
especially when we're universally reviled right now on the world stage. So
yeah, and and that was actually part of my thinking was she was she was a real up and comer in the Republican party. And then she gets kind of shipped off to the UN. And I was never quite sure if that was something that was supposed to be helping her or just getting her out of the country.
You're not as crazy as the rest of us.
Yeah.
You go over there.
Anyway.
But she could be another Huckabee Sanders. I mean, she's in a position where she could be going that tact. So if she's not, then that's
her
credit.
She hasn't been. Hasn't been.
Except for
most
today.
Of the time.
Well, that was my more depressing, trying to find silver linings, which is very difficult nowadays in the current political climate list. The rest are more fun.
Oh, God, I hope so.
The rest are the types of things President Trump would rub his
dick
on.
I need another one of these drinks, man.
There's a lot of booze in that.
All right. Best party game that came out this year that isn't... I'm just running this... Best thing since Cards Against Humanity.
I'm gonna go with Joking.
Joking Hazard.
Yeah, okay.
Joking Hazard. Yeah. We talked about it before.
Yes. Big fan of that game.
Yeah, it's we've only played it once, or you might have played it more than once.
No. We'd like to play it again, but we only played it once.
But yeah, it's fun. The cards are more. I think they give you a lot more options than the stuff in the Cards Against Humanity.
It's more cerebral, but not in an intellectual, going to ostracize or kind of make people feel dumb. It's just, there's something about it that works so well in so many, because we've talked about this, Cards Against Humanity, there are a lot of cards that just don't work together.
Yeah.
And you're just like, we just yell burn card and just throw a card down and we know one's going to win because we're getting rid of it because it sucks. You know, or there's the, this card always went to this person. Like if you play motherfucking sorcerer with me, I will always choose it and give you the win because it cracks me up for some reason.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just, Joking Hazard doesn't fall into those traps and it's pictographic.
Yeah.
And sometimes the humor of it is, unlike Cards Against Humanity, the humor of Joking Hazard can really reach like sublime. It can get to that point where like, this is like comedy genius.
Or it can be just boners.
Right. It really runs the gamut. It really runs the gamut. Now, that being said, I fucking love the makers of Cards Against Humanity, how they keep trolling Trump.
Yeah. They've done a fantastic job with their super subversive publicity stunts, I guess.
I don't care if that's what they are. They're just like, they're just fucking fantastic.
Gonzo subversive marketing that is, nobody's done anything like that.
No one's had the opportunity until this year.
Or the money,
Or the money, yeah. I mean, they're obviously doing
They're just, they have, they, I think they just have so much money, they're like, fuck it, let's do something crazy.
Let's hire the preeminent eminent domain lawyers in the country to prevent the border wall from being completed.
And they certainly don't care if they're offending anyone while they're doing
it. It's intrinsic to their product, so it's like, it's like how South Park used to be. Like, everything Matt Stone and Trey Parker did had to be offensive. Like, do a movie about basketball and make it with dick slap jokes.
I liked basketball.
I did too. It just, that was everything so they did. That, I don't know. Maybe we should watch it again and see
what that's up. Might not hold up. But I remember watching it as like, this is better than it should be.
It's funny you should say that because that might be one of my lists.
Okay.
Which I already read. Or I already said the title. Okay. All right. Yes. Joking Hazard. Play it with a group. Maybe with alcohol.
It's okay. Best vodka commercial. Atomic Blonde.
Okay. This is like best Ray-Bans commercial, Men in Black.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're making a product placement in a movie joke.
For those who don't get it. A movie within a product placement joke. That's really what that was. I don't have a category for this, but I'm going to say just female superhero movie, because I think it is the only thing in that category.
Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Sucker Punch was a female superhero movie. Think about this ear. Needling you. Yeah.
Okay, no, seriously, though. Am I missing something? Because I would not consider Catwoman in that category, because she is from the Rogues Gallery and not really a superhero.
True.
I would say the same thing for Elektra. She's really a Daredevil Rogues Gallery character.
Love interest, but Catwoman, yeah.
Is there a movie I'm missing here?
Did you see the Saturday Night Live joke trailer for the Black Widow movie?
No.
It's a romantic comedy where she falls in love with Ultron. It's like, it's very bad on purpose. The thing is, no, you're not missing something, because there's a legitimate issue here. And that is that women's or female superheroes do not get their own movies.
That's what that's what I'm driving at.
And now, like, and
I was going to say, best of female super. No, just female superhero
movie. No, it's a very good point. It's been discussed to death. I don't want to get too much into it, but it's nice that now anyone who tries to make the argument in Hollywood of, well, because this is apparently what they've been saying for years. Well, I mean, no one really wants to see a female superhero lead, so we're just going to make teen movies at best.
And
Wonder Woman.
And it did crazy good box office. Hey, Harvey Weinstein. And it was a wonderful movie. It was. I love them. I really did.
Good of the DC movies to come out in years.
I honestly haven't seen the other ones. And you've seen like one or two other ones.
I saw Batman vs. Superman. It was shit. And I saw Superman Returns, and it was shit. And that's it. I'm not even looking forward to seeing Justice League. I have Wonder Woman in 4K. Give me like 2 years for the 4K projector price to go down. Don't see it, and then we're gonna watch it in like 120-inch killer surround. It's gonna be fucking awesome. I'm just saying, because that movie's great.
All right,
hit me.
That was three more. I can do.
Do you have a lot more?
That was three.
Okay, I have more lists.
I'll do one more since we're talking about superhero movies.
Okay.
Best ending for a character universe. I'm letting you guess what this is.
I don't understand what you mean by
character. Yeah, I'm probably not wording this right. Best way to fucking end a run of movies by a cast, at least two people. I'm it's Logan, man. I'm
okay. Going with Logan. Sorry, I was not.
Yeah, I know. I'm just making this stuff up right now.
Okay, it's fine. There was a lot of booze in that drink.
Yeah,
be aware of that.
It was good. And I like it.
It was great.
It was a good drink.
It was so good.
And you really can't taste alcohol in
that. No, when you warm it up, it's even more dangerous.
Yeah.
Woo.
Logan, yeah. It was the last
hurrah for both Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart. And what a way to go out.
Those parts. Yeah.
But let's talk about the
release. I mean, it wasn't a great, great movie, but it was pretty good.
For a Wolverine movie?
Yeah. Really, yeah.
Let's talk. So part of that was it was sort of catapulted over the shoulders of two very bad preceding movies in the Wolverine movie line.
They weren't great.
I really thought the first and second Wolverines were shit. I really, like, it's like they concentrated on what the stupid parts of Wolverine and didn't get into the character stuff very well. Or they, when they did, it was ham-fisted and kind of
yes, it was
awkward.
Very ham-fisted.
It was like a step back.
So what, he and Sabretooth are buddies or brothers or something?
Well, they were, dumb. I mean, that was in the comic. It was in that run, but again, like, this is why, I mean, look at the Iron Fist problem. He doesn't have to be white anymore. It's not the 70s. We don't need to be beholden to the source material when the source material is like racist and outdated. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the Asian community had a very strong argument for that, that of course they ignored and then cast who they cast, and that sucked.
Yeah.
But Logan did the, it went dark thing. And I know some people are getting sick of that. In this case, I thought it worked beautifully.
Yeah, it was entirely appropriate. I mean,
it needed to.
It needed to.
That's what it needed. Someone looked at it and said, this needs to be dark. Let's do Old Man Logan, which is an existing comic.
Because even when the Christopher Nolan Batman movies go dark, they don't really go dark.
No.
I mean, there's still that, this is family-ish entertainment.
I like the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. The last one, not as much, but the first and second one I actually enjoyed.
But they don't just start straight up kill their murdering people.
And their main characters.
Yeah.
Like, done. Old man gets healed every 5 seconds, doesn't come back from this.
Yeah.
He's been carrying around a bullet waiting for this moment, too.
Yeah.
It went dark. It went like Jack Bauer second season of 24 dark, but in a good way, unlike that, which was terrible.
Well, yeah, and it was, I don't want to use the word realistic because it's obviously,
there's nothing about it that's realistic.
But it's certainly a legitimate take on, well, this guy is really strong and has super sharp claws coming out of his hands. What happens when a bunch of people who are drunk try to beat the crap out of him?
Oh, it was brutal. Oh,
he starts stabbing them through their heads. Yeah.
Because they always gotta cut away from that and gloss over it when you have like a PG-13 rating.
And yeah, and like, oh no, he's just gonna slice through the pipe that they're holding or their gun every barrel.
Time.
Like, no, he's going to stab them in the head.
Because that's gonna neutralize the threat. Ultimately, it's a testament, because we've seen this twice now, it's a testament to the R-rated superhero movie.
Yeah.
Because Deadpool fucking nailed it too.
That's true.
And that did it in a different dark way, more humor.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said for maturing the source material or the material to, you know.
And just to be clear, in my perspective, I wasn't watching that happening going, yeah, I was like, oh my God.
No, it made me uncomfortable watching that. Because you're taught that it doesn't actually happen somehow.
Yeah.
Like there's still that childish party that's like, it's okay. But it no, was, there's not, there's it no getting up from that.
Jarring and disturbing when he's killing these people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I mean, that's. Look, he's got claws.
What are you going to do with those? Not only does he have claws, but they cut through anything.
Yeah.
It needed to happen. I don't think every movie needs to go R-rated dark, but it needed to happen for some characters to find their believability or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about realism. It's about believability, right? The way you phrased it is very important. Given these ridiculous, this ridiculous context, mm-hmm. is this more believable now? That in a bar fight or in a fight, that's what's gonna, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, we can certainly get into the spoilers here. That the thing where they hole up with that family.
And I call it, the minute they got there, I was like, well, I know this is gonna end.
Yeah.
Because by that point, the movie's established, it's not pulling punches.
Right, and in any other superhero movie, the family would have survived.
Oh, they would have been fine. They would have come out better off.
Yeah,
their problems would have been solved.
Probably would have been solved.
And then they would be okay.
And then the heroes would have moved on, and the bad people would have followed the heroes and left the poor family alone.
Yeah, not this. Not
no, that's not how things work in this world.
Never how things work.
All right. Go back to your list here. What's your next list?
All right, this one will be fairly quick. So I've actually been thinking a lot. This is the one that gave me this whole idea in the first place. I was out for a run, and I had this list idea.
Okay, this is your epiphany list.
So top five movies that I think that you could either say are funnier than they should be, or a combination of also, I think a lot of people might have missed.
Okay.
For different reasons.
And I probably missed a lot of these, maybe.
I don't think so. So
I'm way behind on the movies I want.
Not all these are old. I'm not doing just this year. This is actually a lot of old ones. These are just movies that Eric and I have been collecting and being like, have you seen The Room? Okay. That kind of thing. And The Room is on here, but I'm taking it off the list because of the disaster artist, that's going to get the viewings that it has.
Which we haven't seen yet.
No, the disaster artist we haven't seen. I've seen The Room 8 times.
Right.
So I'm going to replace The Room at number 5 with This Is the End.
Okay.
Have you seen the Seth Rogen movie? Yeah.
I thought we saw it, maybe.
Yeah, we might have seen it together. I think it was fucking hilarious.
I did too. I really liked it.
It's vulgar as shit. There is an entire very funny scene where they threaten each other by who's going to ejaculate on the other one more. And it's a very funny scene.
Yeah.
And Channing Tatum plays a... He's the first time I actually thought he was funny. He plays like this post-apocalyptic sex, like, gimp.
Yeah.
Like, begrudgingly. It is just an honest to God... And it apes so many celebrities. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've ever been annoyed with Michael Cera, you really need to see this movie.
Oh, yeah. These people are clearly, like, having a great time setting up themselves.
Yes. They're all playing hyper-annoying versions of themselves. Mm-hmm. And very foul. Yeah. It got a lot of literally
sending up Michael Cera.
You can't really send up Michael Cera more than the way they sent Michael Cera a pole. Yes. I really think it's worth, if you're easily offended, maybe you should avoid it, but otherwise.
Maybe? But if you're easily offended, you're not listening to this podcast.
That's a good point. Yeah. Go fuck yourself. Number four would have been Thor Ragnarok if I actually thought it was a funny movie, but I didn't.
Ooh.
So instead, to prove that I really like Taika Waititi and I'm a hipster, I'm going with the far less known but far funnier Hunt for the Wilder People. Because that's a fucking funny movie.
All right.
Grizzled Sam Neill on the run with a very overweight, very... problematic inner city New Zealand teen on the run in the bush, and like just crazy cop antics trying to catch them.
Yeah, and the hunters that keep popping up,
and they just keep fucking with so bad.
Yeah,
and of course, what's his face? Oh goddamn it, Murray from Flight of the Conchords plays the googly eye guy.
Oh, I don't remember. Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but I don't really know the actor.
Oh, man, it's going to bug me.
I think we must have watched this together.
He's in a ton of stuff. We did. Yeah, because Eric really wanted us to see it, so we all watched it together.
Yeah.
His name will come to me. He's a very funny New Zealand actor. He's in a lot of stuff. It was basically an indie film, so not a lot of people saw it. But it is, I mean, if you like Thor Ragnarok, you really should see it because it's the same director.
It's a completely different movie,
but it has same actors.
It does. It's just completely character driven.
It's heartwarming.
Which it is. And I think if they had given the characters more time to spend together, and if the scenes in Thor Ragnarok had been like the same length and the same character time together that was in Hunt for the Wilder People, Ragnarok would have been a far better movie for it.
I would agree with that. But instead they had Michael Bay edit it.
Yeah.
At least that's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
I really think a lot of people are going to end up missing out on Hunt for the Wilder People. I think it's a really funny movie. Number three, you're probably going to argue with me with, but Guardians of the Galaxy.
The first one?
Yeah.
I thought that was tremendously popular, though.
Was it?
Yes.
Who was it popular with?
It did very good box office. That's what I'm remembering.
Talk to people. I've been amazed by how many people younger than me who are into geeky stuff did not see it because it was just another Marvel movie.
Really?
Yeah. Multiple conversations with people. I was like,
I've talked to people that are like in no way, shape, or form into sci-fi or comic books or whatever, who saw this and liked it.
And someone probably told them it was really funny.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was...
So you don't think it has enough geek cred?
No, I think it's working against it with the more mainstream audience, is my point. I think a lot of people saw Marvel attached to it and said, oh, here it's good, not for me. I mean, God knows, I know I could name a couple people who did that and ended up enjoying it when I forced them to watch it. So, yeah, I know it's easy to argue, but I think more people are missed out on that movie than you would think because of what it is and the universe it's a part of.
Yeah, that's possible.
It's a comedic tour de force.
Yeah, and most people that I know who've seen it really liked it. Some people who didn't, and I think it's just, it comes down to the characters. If you see these characters, you're like, I don't really like these people. I don't get any of these characters. You're not going to like anything about it.
No, but dear, why are you out of your cave?
I don't know.
I mean, Bautista, like, yeah, that launched a comedic career for him. He's really fucking funny, as it turns out. Number two, I don't know if we ever showed you this, Grandma's Boy. Did you ever watch Grandma's Boy?
No.
On paper, it is the worst sounding movie ever. Hey, Smike, how about you come watch a stoner comedy with me, made by all of Adam Sandler's friends.
I've already left the room.
Without Adam Sandler. It's all his buddies without Adam Sandler. Oh, it's about video games.
Maybe.
No, wait, Mike. Okay. Are you back? Okay, good. Yeah. It is hilarious. It has really great actors. Did you ever watch Freaks and Geeks?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you just lost some cred in my mind.
Yeah, well, I'm
it launched a lot of careers. Than that.
Sorry.
I was younger than that. Fuck you. it has the main girl from Freaks and Geeks. She's a very good actress.
Wait, which one is Freaks and Geeks?
It's the original, it's the show that launched Franco and Seth Rogen and all them. It's the high school show directed by Judd Apatow.
Was that the one with, who was the teacher in that?
Was there a teacher? I don't remember. It was the high school show.
No,
the dad
I
was really funny. The dad was on like
no, some I never saw 70s sitcom. Nope. This isn't the one I was thinking of.
All right.
Nope, never saw it.
Well, anyway, Grandma's Boy, very funny, good stoner comedy. They're bad stoner comedies. Number one, funniest, and this falls under the funniest movie that has no right to be this funny is Euro Trip. Well, it'll probably be that to the day I die.
Did you just say Euro Trip?
Euro Trip.
All right. I certainly haven't seen that.
It is a sort of spiritual sequel to Road Trip, which is not a good selling point. That was a middling comedy at best.
Which I also don't believe I've seen.
Yeah, and this is your age partly too. But Euro Trip is a legitimately hilarious movie. It's like a high school road trip movie, but that's not really part of it at all.
Okay.
It's a send up of
you're
like
not selling me yet. What's the
sell
here?
Americans in Europe.
Okay.
Humor.
Yeah.
And it's really got a catchy song in it.
Yeah.
It sort of permeates the entire movie.
I don't know, man.
I'm not trying to convince you.
Okay, I thought you were.
No, fuck you. I don't need to convince you shit. All
right.
Watch stuff or not watch stuff. All
right.
But yeah, number one movie that is way funnier than it should be is Euro Trip, followed closely by Grandma's Boy. I'm done with my list.
I can't argue with that because
you haven't seen either.
I haven't seen either of them.
You also have terrible taste in movies.
All right. We'll take a little break. Amazon versus Echo. I mean, Amazon versus... No, that didn't come out right.
Jeff Bezos at war with himself.
Amazon Echo versus Google Home.
What criteria? What category?
I don't know. Anything. So, we have one of each. I only speak to Google. My wife only speaks to Alexa.
That's funny.
So they're right there, literally right next to each other.
Yeah.
But she does not care for the speaker in the Google Home as much as the one, and she prefers the speaker in the Echo.
And you're talking the Echo, not the Echo Dot.
Right.
Okay.
I don't get it. I like Google. I think Google has a little more flexibility to it. Because I have, because I can, for one thing, cast to like my TV and my stereo. If you hear something really good, I can say, hey, I don't want to say it too loud because I don't know what might be in here.
No, do it because it'll set out people on the podcast. Hey, Google, play I'm Blue, dabba-dee-dabba-die.
Hey, Google, stop.
Hey, Google, play.
So I like playing stuff from the Google Play Music radio stations.
Oh, okay.
I think they're actually pretty cool. And there's like an almost infinite number of them from what I can tell. And I'll just say, you know, play music like this.
That's cool. And I haven't really explored that.
Yeah. And it depends on how you have it set up. If you have it set up to go to Pandora by default, you would have to specify from Google Play Music.
Okay, yeah.
So, but anyway, I like Google.
I like
other
Google.
People like
Alexa.
Echo.
Yeah, you know I am firmly, as I've already said, I firmly am in the Google camp to the point where I did just buy the Max.
The Max.
The Google Home Max.
Which is this beast of a speaker
device.
It's
a 12-pound smart speaker. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is exactly what I wanted in the first place. The price is exorbitant. It's like Sonos, upper-level Sonos territory. But what I always wanted from Google
What's
Home...
What's exorbitant, though? What is... It's like...
Well,
in the
Home
hundreds.
Max is $400.
That's not... Okay.
It's a single speaker.
Yeah, all right. It's
you
still not...
Can't crazy. Even mount it to a wall.
Okay.
It's got some limitations.
Yeah.
You can't even use it for home theater. You can't even use it for...
Right.
You know?
That's a good point.
It, what I wanted the Google Home... My one complaint with the Google Home, other than the calendar issue, which they fixed, because they couldn't do calendar events at first, is it didn't sound great. And I, being an audiophile, I have very realistic expectations based on size of speakers and make and price. And I just thought, like, I just wish there was a better Google Home.
Right.
You know, that's all I wanted. And then lo and behold, they fucking did it. And I'm super happy with it. It's sounds gorgeous. It's, mm-hmm. It can be loud as fuck without distorting. It does open up some more groups like, options throughout the house, more of a hub kind of thing. And I mean, I saved up for it. Mm-hmm. And it, right now it comes with a year of YouTube Red and Google Play for free. Mm-hmm.
So in general terms of functionality, though, there's not a whole lot of difference. The casting is a difference for me, though.
And also availability. Really
from the Amazon.
No, and also there are just some things that don't work on one or the other because of the ecosystem competition.
Yeah. It's good. I'm glad that they are competing with each other still.
Yeah.
And that's a win-win for everyone because they're both, you know, this is like a truly competitive situation.
Oh yeah.
Which is kind of a rarity in a tech market like that.
Yeah. Can I actually jump to the top of my other list?
Okay.
My top prediction of tech for next year is that the smart speaker wars cause Apple to start their decline.
Oh.
And that's the one thing I'm going to say that people will be like, whoa, really? Hmm. I've been really reading a lot about this shit. Okay. And I am firmly convinced, and this is not me hating on Apple, because I have hated on Apple in the past, and it's easy to do. It's like hating the Yankees.
Yeah.
It's like it's easy to do because they're the top dog. But, you know, companies rise and fall. Mm-hmm. Kodak was top dog for a while, but inevitably something comes along that disrupts, and it's such an overused term, but it's true. Mm-hmm. Something comes along and disrupts your market segment, your vertical, and you didn't keep up with it. The digital photography and video world disrupted Kodak and they didn't jump on it fast enough.
Yeah.
Amazon, no one saw that coming from Amazon. And somehow Google really quickly rebounded. But Apple has yet to get out there with the HomePod. And everything I've read about the HomePod, and I think that they made the smart choice by not releasing it because it wasn't mm-hmm. ready in their terms. But the problem with the HomePod is it is not going to have access to an ecosystem the way that Google Home and Echo do.
Hmm.
And I think that will actually be the beginning of a very slow and probably barely perceptible initially decline for Apple. Because technology
happens slowly now.
Well, maybe not. I'm really kind of hedging my bet because, I'm either we're going to be right or wrong. But I honestly think if anything's going to lodge Apple out of the top spot of the technology world, it's this. It's their inability to see this coming, to innovate fast enough, and to get it on the market. They are starting with a very competitive market with everyone three generations ahead of them by the time they get this out.
Yeah.
You know? Or not three, two generations.
One more, and then we'll do another one of your list.
That was the top of my list.
Okay. So, Hulu versus Amazon versus Netflix for original streaming.
Netflix, number one to me.
Think so?
Yeah. Amazon and Hulu are kind of tied at number two in my mind.
I got to put Amazon in number two, and it's close. Because Amazon's got some innovative stuff. They're doing the pilot stuff.
Okay. Did you see Jean-Claude Van Johnson?
No, is that on now?
It's out, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I'm excited.
but that's a really cool program that they're following through with it.
I'll give you that. Okay, that's fair.
Instead of just saying, well, let's try some stuff out. Mm-hmm. Although Netflix is super good at saying, I think we know what to put together for people.
Well, like everything else with modern technology, they're just looking at the data.
I know, but I mean, it's
amalgamating it in the smartest way possible.
Yeah.
But you know what?
It's creepy, but it's like cool at the same time.
I'm okay. I am so past the creeped out thing. I am so... I bought into Cyberdyne, man. I get it. Skynet is there. All of our fucking information is out there. at the very least, rather than fucking net neutralitying my ass and making me pay to do anything I want to do on the internet, use your powers for good and make more Stranger Things. You know?
Yeah.
Make shit I want to watch. At least I'll be a happy, mindless, you know, sheep.
I think Hulu's trailing behind. I mean, Future Man's good, but there's not...
Well, do they have Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they've had a couple of...
That was pretty big.
That was a big one. That's why I put Amazon and Hulu together. They each have a couple. Like, Amazon's got Transparent.
Well, that's... yeah, that's a whole other thing now.
I'm actually not... I don't know what you're talking about.
The lead actor?
Jeffrey Tambor?
Yeah.
Well, he got accused? He
had yeah, his how did you miss that? That was like weeks ago.
I kind of...
Yeah, he's off the show now.
Are you serious?
Yes, he's gone.
Totally missed this. Wow. Well, yeah. Okay. Before that, they had Transparent.
Yeah, I mean, they still do, but he's not in it anymore.
Well, it's going to be like House of Cards without Kevin Spacey, you know.
I did restrict it to original content because, you know, obviously if you want to watch something that's out now on a network, then yeah, Hulu's your best choice.
Right.
Your only choice.
Yeah, it really is. When we cut the cord, we really found that you actually needed at least Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah.
You had to have both of those. And Amazon Prime has been a welcome addition that we already were paying for because, you know, like it or not, they are smart about their bundling Prime to be indispensable.
Yeah. Amazon, I also have to give them the ultra high definition content because if you have a good HDR TV and you watch something like
Top Gear.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
The Grand Tour.
Grand Tour.
Formerly Top Gear. It's amazing. It looks so good.
You're going to be paying a lot when the ISPs start charging you to watch stuff.
That's a whole other story. And I'll bring this to my last thing of this stuff, which is the, in my opinion, the best gizmo gadget to come out in 2017. And it might not be very exciting, but I am going to go with the LG C7 OLED TV.
So you're picking an existing technology that just got a very good release.
It did.
Okay.
And for me, it was huge because it's an OLED. It has great dark...
Infinite contrast ratio.
And it's bright enough to use in a pretty bright room. Mm. And it's that combination, especially.
It's like the triumvant of the...
It's like, it's finally, holy... yes, this is what I've been waiting for. And this, you know, I'm not the only one that thinks this is a great TV. I read up on it and it's been very well winning top reviews and shootouts all over the place this year.
If that had been a couple years old or that had been more in my price range when I bought my OLED, I would have said, all right, I'll just get on 4K.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's LG. I love what LG's doing with their OLEDs.
Yeah.
They're fucking killer TVs. They are a worthy upgrade.
All right, go to a list here.
Well,
you want to just do the non-tech stuff, or you want to blow through your tech list?
I mean, that's all I have left. All right. It's really not that good, and we kind of talked about half of it.
Okay. So. Do we have time left, or are we?
We're over.
All right. I'm just gonna throw some stuff out.
All right.
I listen to a lot of new music. I don't know if you know that.
I don't.
Because we never talk about music.
Because our tastes are so utterly different.
I think they are.
Yeah. No, they are.
And that's why we don't really get into it.
Yeah.
But. There was some new music this year that I wanted to shout out to.
Oh, all right.
Dirty Projectors just came out. I don't know when it was this year. It was a new album. I can't remember the name of it. It's Dirty Projectors. But they are doing some really just weird and cool stuff, but very accessible at the same time.
Okay.
And it's hard for me to describe it. It's something, go out to YouTube and check out
Dirty Projectors.
I think the song is up on Hudson or up in Hudson.
It's in the Harlem Shake.
So it's something Hudson. it's a really neat song. They dropped a video for it just like within the past month or so. And it's a cool. I've heard a couple of other things on the album. It's weird and neat and fun, and I like it.
Right.
Best. Incredibly gay dance pop electronic band, which is going to be... You're not guessing this one, are you?
Why the hell are you... Why? What?
Superfruit. Have you even heard of Superfruit?
No. Why would you even think I would know what you're talking about?
Because they're great. And they are billed as a comedy / music duo.
Nothing about
that
makes me want
to do it. I know, but you see that and you're like, this can't be good. But they are. And, you know, granted, if you don't like electronic-y, dancey, poppy stuff.
Yeah, none of that.
You're really... not going to like this. But for what this is, they are making really good songs that have no right to be as good as they are. And some, you know, a lot of them are actually pretty funny, mm-hmm. but they're not like that. This is clever, and the clever is all that's to it. I mean, they're solid songs, and these two guys that are in they're in the duo came from an a cappella band called Pentatonix.
Oh yeah, I've heard of Pentatonix.
And they're like a Grammy winning group.
Yeah.
So they're, I mean, these guys are good at singing.
Right, right.
So, you know, they come from a pretty strong background. Mm. And they've got a lot of videos, and if any of that sounds even a little bit appealing to you, you know, go check them out.
All right.
And one more, The Regrets, which is spelled R-E-G-R-E-T-T-E-S.
Oh.
It's a girl band.
Mm-hmm, I figured.
It's a punk girl band, but it's again, not like hard sort of punk.
It's accessible punk?
It's accessible girl punk. They got some really good stuff. They just started putting out music very recently. They just put out their first full CD this year. I'm really excited to see what they got going on. Go listen to Seashore. That's my best pick for them from this year.
By the Regrets.
And best music video with Channing Tatum in it. I'm going with Beautiful Trauma by Pink.
No, I didn't hear about that.
He's really good at dancing.
Yeah. Professional male stripper dancer guy.
So yeah, it's a really nice video. Beautiful Trauma by Pink. With Channing Tatum. Yeah.
I used to hate on Channing Tatum. I'm okay with him now. And that's it.
That's it. I was going to do a knock on Netflix original anime, but I didn't get to that because it's awful.
I don't think we've ever even tried. Okay. well, I sincerely hope your 2018 is palatable. And I hope my Christmas gift makes it better in some way. And I hope that Trump gets impeached.
I agree with all of that. Okay. And I hope that at least for the one gift that you are, you find at least an hour's worth of intense amusement from it.
Is this a masturbation joke? Because, I mean, it could be. All right, cool. I'm down with it. All right, take it away, Melanie.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit StolenDress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
So, we are Buddies in Space.
Yeah.
And this has been 2017.
The year.
You are.
I have this whole year been M. Michael Crossy, and this whole year you have been
S. Michael Smith. Have we made it?
I didn't think we were going to do it.
I'm still not sure how.
I've been carrying around this adamantium-coated bullet all year, ready to take myself out the moment it was needed. I stole the bullets, Mike. I'm still here.
Still got a couple days left.
I'm ready to do what I need to do. I'm ready to talk in this voice all the time if I have to.
Oh, it's going to be a long 2018, isn't it?
Oh, my God, it's going to be so fucking long. Hey, could be the blue wave, though. After Alabama, I'm starting to think maybe it will happen. I'm not convinced yet, but I'm hopeful.
Really? We're going to go out on politics?
No, I was talking about the blue wave.
Blue Wave Pool and Spas, which is an excellent place to get a hot tub.
Right, yeah.
On Fairport.
Yeah, because, you know, you got to change your filter regularly.
Yeah.
And people may not realize that.
Chlorine in every, kind of chlorine. For a couple of weeks.
Some of the D-metal stuff, you know, take the metal out.
Sure.
You know. Hot tub. Spa frog.